Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, sponsored by the Popeyes Chicken Sandwich. I'm Marcellus Wiley, and coming up, we'll tell you if Deshaun Watson is really happy in Houston, and we'll have the latest on Antonio Brown. Right now, I'm joined by LeVar Arrington and stinky dinky dog Mark Schlereth. And today, we're going to start off with Cam Newton. And the former MVP, Cam Newton, still looking for a job out there. And reportedly, the work and the market for him has completely cooled down of late. But his old coach, Ron Rivera, doesn't think it's time to count Cam out, telling our guy, Jake Glazer, quote, "I will say this, though, from the people that are around him that I know, they've all said the same thing to me. They've said, coach, he looks great. He really does. And they also told me he's a little bit different. His whole attitude. He's got something to prove. And I will say this. The one thing about Cam Newton with an edge or something to prove, don't ever bet against him. LeVar Arrington, does Cam have something to prove?
Of course he has something to prove. You can tell by the videos that he posts on social media that he feels he has something to prove. When you've had the type of career that Cam Newton has had and you find yourself at a crossroads looking for what's next and how do I finish this career out? What's my curtain call? Yes, he has something to prove. And I believe he feels that he has enough left to be able to prove it as well.
I totally agree. I think that he has got, I think there's two things. There's two factors here on do you have something to prove if you're Cam Newton. One, you've got to prove that 2018 wasn't flukish. When you look at the beginning of 2018, Cam Newton was exceptional. He was so good. And having talked to Coach Turner and North Turner and having talked to Cam Newton during that season, like he took it upon himself to really become more polished quarterback, to really understand the game, have a better understanding of the game. And I think one of the things that happens to you as an athlete or a supremely gifted athlete, that when things break down at the quarterback position, especially when you're extremely gifted, regardless of who you are, when you're gifted like that athletically, your default mechanism is from the neck down. You rely on athleticism. I think we've seen a lot of guys go through this over the course of their careers. Steve Young comes to mind. When he was early in his career in Tampa with the LA Express, even before that, it was always the default mechanism to rely on athleticism. And until he learned to have that default mechanism from the neck up to really understand the game at a higher level, that's when he really excelled and became a Hall of Famer. And I think Cam Newton for about six or eight games was on that stretch before a shoulder injury derailed that season, and then last year, of course, a foot injury. So he's got to prove that that's not a fluke. Those 8 weeks weren't a fluke. And he also has to prove that he can stay healthy, because when healthy, the guy is one of the most gifted, one of the most exceptional athletes we've ever had the opportunity to watch in this league.
Of course he has something to prove. This is obvious. This is the guy, if you look at his resume, you look at his accolades, there is a self-motivated individual with supreme talent that when healthy, he's an MVP. When healthy, he's in the Super Bowl. This is who Cam Newton is from the collegiate level into the pro level. You look at a guy who goes out there, and when he's right, everything is right for Cam Newton. And now you look at it in terms of your ego. Imagine being Cam Newton, greater than me as a football player by far, sitting there being shelved right now because of the compromise of his body, because he's injured. But the ego is sitting there saying, hey, man, you know you're not playing. You don't even have a job right now. But Kyle Allen, when he was hot, they thought he was going to be better than you. And Teddy Bridgewater came and took your job and got paid for it. And now you're sitting there stuck on Instagram trying to show people and remind people of your greatness. That's where Cam Newton is right now in terms of his mindset. And when they counted him out at Florida, we saw what happened. When he went to Auburn, won the national championship, become the number one overall pick. And you can't count a guy like this out with that level of talent and also that work ethic that we see on his post. So Cam Newton right now, maybe looking at a guy like Ron Rivera and trying to check the source. Think about this. I never trust high praise from someone who's talking about their ex. They're your ex for a reason. Ron Rivera keeps talking about Cam Newton in a positive way, But Ron Rivera had an opportunity to bring Cam Newton on board. I know there's politics at play. I know that there's a spider web of issues that is greater than just his talent. But let's talk about that since we've all been in that locker room before. Let's talk about the fact that, do you think Ron Rivera is being genuine right now in terms of his conversation about Cam Newton?
Yeah, I believe he's being genuine. I just don't think he's being all the way forthcoming with his words. Like you said, Marcellus, he took Kyle Allen. So he took a quarterback from the team he left from. But I do know that Ron Rivera feels as though he's ingratiated to Cam for having the opportunity to go coach at another team because of the success he was able to have during his tenure with Cam as his quarterback. So I believe he genuinely feels the way that he feels. But if you listen to his words, he said that the concern is his health. We've been saying it on this show. I know I've been saying it repeatedly that people are afraid to take a chance because most certainly how big and how physically strong Cam is built and to have an issue with a weight-bearing limb, a part of your body, that's questionable. Can he hold up? It's questionable. And I don't think Ron wanted to take the chance of making that type of a big splash, bringing him to Washington with him, and his health fail. I think this pandemic has really put Cam behind the eight ball on having a fair opportunity to get evaluated and get that starting job opportunity that he's so seeking. But I do believe that Ron was genuine. I just don't think that he went all the way as deep on the details as to why Cam may be in the situation he's in right now.
Well, I certainly think that he's genuine. I don't think there's any question that he's genuine about Cam's health and about the kind of competitor that Cam is and you know, how Cam, I've seen it and I've talked to Cam about, you know, the change of attitude and some things that he took upon himself. So, you know, he has embraced all those things. I don't think there's any question that Ron Rivera is being forthright in his assessment of Cam Newton. I do think there's some other things involved from the standpoint of the Washington Redskins. I think Kyle Allen doesn't pose a threat to Dwayne Haskins' development where Cam Newton, you know, just made. He come in and be better right off the bat, and players are going to be like, well, why isn't that guy our quarterback? So I think that's a dynamic there that is very difficult for Ron Rivera to bring Cam Newton in. But here's the deal. I mean, the bottom line is this. With this pandemic, this is not a quarterback-driven league. It's a quarterback-deprived league. There's not many quarterbacks out there. Cam Newton will get his opportunity. He has to bide his time, and that may be crushing to the ego. But all he has to do is wait, because there will be poor play, there will be injuries, there will be a lot of things, and he'll get an opportunity somewhere to go out and be the, you know, be the quarterback that he is and be the starter that he is.
But we're asking the question: is telling the truth to a point, to an extent, to a limit, a lie? We all know being on that field and being in the on the practice field, just watching the supposed meritocracy of being in the NFL and the best players get the opportunity. And we all know upstairs there are many of executives in different offices, and they all have their contributions to the product that people see on the field. But now let me talk to the investors. Let me talk to the season ticket holders. Let me talk to the fans who necessarily don't always see the best product on the field. This is the Washington Redskins with Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen at quarterback. Meanwhile, the coach's ex-quarterback is Cam Newton on the shelf. And as we watch a Jameis Winston take a contract for $1 million and Andy Dalton take a contract for $3 million, and you have that relationship with Cam Newton, you could cut through the agent and all the politics and say, Cam, how much would it take for you to get there? Do you think that number is astronomical? I don't think so. I think Cam right now is going to go out there and balance an opportunity with the opportunity cost. And a one season for Cam Newton to restore the roar and his greatness will get him back to where he wants to get in terms of how people think of him and in terms of that compensation. So, LeVar, if you look at it from that perspective, it doesn't seem like Coach is being genuine, giving them all the love, giving them all the praise, and you have the history. Cam Newton helped make Ron Rivera as the head coach, giving him this opportunity. But now you think that he's being forthright, or as you said, telling the truth to a point?
To a point. Because there's always self-preservation, right? I mean, you got to think about it. Ron is in a different city coaching a different team. Why? Because he failed as a coach at the end in Carolina, right? There's some self-preservation here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When you look at the scenario and the situation, if really I was in a compromising position based upon Cam's help and now I had to look and find another job, I'm not going to bring that same situation back to where I'm at now currently. Now, where I would say this is interesting, what Stink brought up was Cam's presence. You know, we talk about Jameis Winston signing somewhere else and knowing that, all right, well, why couldn't this be Cam Newton going to one of these places where Dalton went or to where, Flacco just went? Why can't he be one of those guys? Because this is the biggest brand, the biggest presence, turbocharged, and the same reasons why you wouldn't bring him to Washington to make Dwayne Haskins feel the way that he's going to feel. You're going to create an instant quarterback controversy. And in D.C., that's big. But just around the league in general, You bring in Cam Newton, the first thing you're going to deal with is here now goes the start of a quarterback controversy.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I think the other thing that you have to weigh in is, you know, we can listen to the stories, and oftentimes where there's smoke, you know there's fire, even though everybody's saying there's nothing to see here. That was a Daniel Snyder pick. That's what everybody has said, and I buy that. I don't know, me personally, I'll buy that. That's a Daniel Snyder pick, and when Daniel Snyder said this is the quarterback I want, and this is the draft choice I want, and this is the guy that's going to play, well, as a head coach, oftentimes you don't have the authority to usurp the owner and say, well, no, let me bring my guy in here. So you're going to have to make it work with Dwayne Haskins. And that's not to say Dwayne Haskins can't become a really good quarterback. That's not to say that Dwayne Haskins can't become a star in the National Football League. But the development of Dwayne Haskins will be severely retarded if you bring in a guy like Cam Newton and everybody's looking over their shoulder going, when is Cam Newton taking over? Because we know right now, just based on his history, based on the MVP, based on the athleticism, based on his resume, that he is a more accomplished quarterback and further along than Dwayne Haskins.
Based on his looks.
The young guy.
Based on how good he looks. We want Cam. We want Cam. That's be the first tag you hear.
Hey, but LeVar, we can't do that. Look, I'm going to borrow something from what the real world right now we're experiencing and the hopes of everything that's going on in our country right now, that chaos brings order. And if I'm Ron Rivera, I'm thinking right now, I might have to have a quarterback controversy, as you say, LeVar, for self-preservation purposes, because I'd be damned if I'm going to go out on my second stint as a head coach and throw Dwayne Haskins out there. And if something happens to Dwayne Haskins, here comes Kyle Allen to not save the day. Meanwhile, Cam Newton is sitting there and I'm heaping praise on him. I know when he's fully motivated. I know when he returns back to form what he's going to be. You have to believe in that. Hey, Ron Rivera, why'd you break up with Sheila? You say she's beautiful, always there for you. Just simply the sweetest. Makes no sense to me right now. So coming up, Deshaun Watson says he's still happy after a rocky offseason in Houston. We'll tell you if we're buying it. More after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley joined again by LeVar Arrington and Mark Slare. Let's move to Houston. Where the Texans have had a pretty wild offseason, shipping all-world wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona for David Johnson, and also adding Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. Caught in the middle of all the changes is Deshaun Watson, who will be working on getting a new deal soon, and says he is, quote, excited for all the changes on the offensive side of the ball. Bet you are, huh? LeVar, you think Deshaun is happy in Houston?
I believe so. I believe Deshaun is happy. I believe he's a winner. And when you're a winner, you take what's put in front of you and you make the best of it. I honestly believe the more I have looked at this situation, I believe there was a conversation that took place between Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien. I think these were things that they talked about. What do they want to do? What do you want to get done? And I really believe that this was a move to place Deshaun Watson in a more high-profile ownership role of the team that he's on right now. I don't see this as fluff or blowing smoke. I believe Deshaun Watson sees the value and Crooks and Randall Cobb and bringing in David Johnson. They were a running game away from being able to take that next step in the playoffs. You add some veteran talent and leadership and understanding, like a guy like Randall Cobb. I believe he sees the value in that. And I think, like you said, with a contract looming, a big contract looming, why be unhappy about the circumstances that you have? If it doesn't work out, I'm blaming it on Billy O'Brien, and I'm going to still get that money, and I'm going to still get another opportunity to try to do well.
Hey, LeVar, I heard that Freudian slip. You called him Brandon Crooks because they got ripped off. I mean, They gave away the best receiver in football in DeAndre Hopkins and got back a running back that retired 3 years ago and didn't tell anybody. And some Tupper, for crying out loud. I mean, you want to talk about getting ripped off. That's a bad, bad deal. That said, listen, you can be happy with the football team. You can be happy being where you're at and disappointed in the moves that were made. I mean, I don't care. Like, Randall Cobb's a professional football player. He's a good football player. Brandon Cooks is a good football player. But the two of those guys don't equal what you lost in DeAndre Hopkins. I'm sorry. He is just that exceptionally gifted a receiver. So, obviously, that's going to hurt. You can still be happy that you're in Houston. You're going to get paid. You're the face of the franchise and all those things. But I will tell you this, man, it's got to be disappointing when the best receiver, or arguably the one of the top three receivers in all of football, is no longer your running mate on the offensive side of the ball. That's a disappointing thing.
Yeah, happy is too strong for me. More like content. Because if you're happy, not only do you feel like, I checked the box, I know I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm great. And then I start looking around, offensive line, ooh, I can't. Okay, running game. Receiving core, a lot of veterans, like you said, guys who were available for a reason, they were available. Defensive side of the ball, you know what? I feel like the guy with the best house in the neighborhood. Like, I'm looking around, none of these houses is helping my equity. None of these houses is giving me value. But damn, it feels good when I come home every single day to this fresh mansion. And that's Deshaun Watson, who's going to get $40 million plus and knows that he's good. And we've been in this situation before. I've been on a 4-12 team, y'all. I've been on a 5-11 team, and I was balling. And I wasn't necessarily happy. I felt great for myself, but I was more content because it's kind of hard to go out there and flex and feel great and everybody looking at you like, man, y'all lost. So what was it for? So Deshaun Watson is caught between. He's looking at the additions and the talent. And if everything hits right, they got a chance to do something. And in the NFL, we know one thing. Everything never hits just right. So I think that Deshaun is a little more content than happy, LeVar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. But, again, I do think it is happy. And I think it's happy for the simple fact that, one, it's not the hardest division to be in to begin with. So to add some weapons to what you have, some guys that can create formidable targets for Deshaun Watson to, again, try to generate more of a running attack going forward. And this is a trust exercise. Like, let's be clear here. I don't feel as though I've ever sensed tension or cracks in the relationship between O'Brien and Watson. He praised O'Brien in his quotes for the moves that he made. So regardless of how we look at DeAndre Hopkins, and we all know the talent that he is, it still goes without saying that the trust between a player and a coach and what that relationship represents really does cure a lot of ills. So even if this does feel optically a bad situation, replacing or trying to replace DeAndre with these guys that you brought in, he must trust that Bill O'Brien has the right formula for them to be successful, and he's the main ingredient.
Well, it comes down to this. It comes down to winning. Are you a better football team with DeAndre Hopkins or without him? Probably with him. I mean, I think there's not many people that would argue that. But when you're talking about the totality of an offense and distribution of the football and protecting your quarterback through the way you run the ball, the way you control the clock and all those things, if those are the things that you're trying to add to give your quarterback a little bit more support, then I completely understand that. And as the quarterback, you're like, if that gives us a better chance to win the division, a better chance to go deeper in the playoffs, a better chance to do those things, that's great. But you would still be upset. I think you're still always upset. I mean, Tom Brady, I'm sure, is upset with some of the guys they got rid of after Super Bowl runs, you know? I mean, that there's always going to be that aspect of it. But as long as you win, you'll give up some of that quote-unquote happiness to have the opportunity to win ball games and ultimately to have a chance to win a championship.
Look, Deshaun is going to get his money, but he's giving this pep rally speech right now, trying to cover for his coach. He says, we're going to win a lot of games and championships. Only 12 quarterbacks in NFL history have won championships. And don't forget, his coach may undermine them.
Divisional
Kansas City,
yeah.
Divisional. 4th-and-1, fake punt. Watch out for coach. That may be your biggest issue. Well, let's go from one Deshaun to another. When you're talking about Deshaun Jackson, who had an interesting idea for how to make this season a little more interesting. In a YouTube conversation with teammate Lane Johnson, Jackson said, if there are no fans in the stadium this year, the league should mic up all the players to give the fans at home a taste of what it's really like down in the trenches. Ooh, interesting, LeVar. You like the sound of this idea?
No. I mean, I think it's a great idea and concept, but let's be clear. You don't want to give fans a taste of that. The NFL is big on protecting that brand, and they already toe the line in terms of certain things, you know, having liquor sponsors or being connected to betting. You're toeing the line on staying as a family-friendly environment. If you do a show for the NFL, that brand, and you're allowing the listening audience to hear what players are saying to one another, I don't know. This is a very different generation of players. I don't know how they communicate with each other. They seem to have more of a loving relationship with each other these days. Guys hang out with each other, know each other really well, and, you know, dog walk and stuff like that. But when I played, I know 100% some of the things that if it went over a microphone, there might have been police waiting to arrest me after the game for some of the things because they would have probably been considered terroristic threats towards the person that I was playing against. I think it's a bad idea because it could sign a lot. I'm actually considered to be a pretty cool dude, and that could have shattered my whole reputation, people being able to hear some of the things that I said during the course of a game.
Listen, I turn off as soon as I hear a 160-pound receiver talk about getting in the trenches. Dude, he ain't never been in no trenches. Get out there in the water. Yeah, you stay out of the water, you know, where everybody's chirping all the time. All those guys are chirping all the time. I would ask you this. We've seen players be mic'd up before, right? We've seen a bunch of players get mic'd up in the past. How many memorable things during a mic-up have you ever heard? Can you recount one thing that was incredibly memorable from a player that was mic'd up? You can't mic them all up. I mean, that, like you said, the language in and of itself, you're going to have to throw away 90% there's one guy you could mic up 100% of the time. One guy in the National Football League, you could mic up 100% of the time, and it would be pure gold. And that's Philip Rivers, because all that nerd trash talk. Like, have you ever heard? He's total nerd trash talk. Philip Rivers is the only guy that you can mic up 100% of the time and find just running it, because that Now it would be the other, you know, the voices you pick up on the other side of the mic screaming at Phillip Rivers.
It's still going to be bad. It's still going to be bad.
Yeah, it sounds good on the surface, but it's not a good idea. You just got to look at it in terms of how corny and fluffy it's going to come out. And I understand that us as sports fans right now are starving for anything, so we'll take whatever you give us. Look, we watched a horse tournament on TV, and that just makes no sense. And this is the same thing based on our experiences. When I was mic'd up, I would walk around to my teammates, tapping my chest. That would alert them. Oh, I'm mic'd up. 5-0, time to keep it PG-13. Nobody wants to get into the lion's den and hear meow. You want to hear the roar. And guess what? The NFL's not going to let you hear the roar. So we're going to get stuck in some ugly middle spot between what you really want and what you really don't want to hear, because it's going to make you think less of your favorite players. Watching the XFL come to mind this offseason. And think about the XFL. The worst part of the XFL for me was literally them being mic'd up and the interviews, huffing and puffing and ain't saying nothing. So I'm good on the NFL doing that experiment. Let us all leave it up into our imagination. I think we have a better script up there. Coming up, Antonio Brown is still looking to launch a comeback, but does his latest move look desperate? That's next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here, LeVar Arrington. And now we're joined by my big brother, NFL former wide receiver, Curtis Conway. Let's move to another wide receiver, and Antonio Brown, much love, brother, who is still out of the league and reportedly not drawing too much interest from NFL teams as he tries to come back from last year's meltdown. AB has now enlisted longtime friend and mentor Deion Sanders to help with his PR push, with both of them posting to IG about the recent workouts together. And Deion saying he can't wait for the world to see AB's comeback. Curtis, I'm coming to you here first, receiver to receiver. Does this move by AB look desperate?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's desperate. I mean, it's different when you don't know someone, but AB obviously has a long relationship with Deion. And throughout this whole time, he's probably been talking with Deion even while he was playing. You know, Instagram now and cameras afford us to be able to see what's going on at any given time. And again, we don't know half the relationships and talks and, you know, things like that that Deion has with a lot of people. So I still talk to Deion Sanders when I got into coaching, and just as a friend and a mentor and a guy I look up to. So, you know, when you have a relationship with somebody, that's a little different when you start talking about desperation, because at the end of the day, they probably had more than just this encounter. And we know that because of the relationship that they have.
Yeah, I tend to think he does look a little desperate here to get an opportunity. But in the sense of them coming together and working together, Deion is one of the dudes, the few guys that has built a tremendous community around what he does. Now, keep in mind, we all need advocates, right? So who better to have as an advocate if you're trying to get back into the league than Deion Sanders getting behind you, right? Tony Dungy was an advocate for Mike Vick when he was trying to get back in. We just seen Alden Smith get signed by the Cowboys. He had Jay Glazer as his advocate. So this is just using what you have, your resources, to be able to create an opportunity. And keep in mind, Deion ain't playing around as it applies to his kids either. So Shador, who is a top-rated up-and-coming quarterback, gets the opportunity to throw passes and develop and listen to AB talk to his dad and get those experiences, while Shiloh gets an opportunity, who's at Southern Carolina, USC, to actually cover and play against AB. So everybody's benefiting from AB's presence at Country Prime. So make no mistake about it, this is very real in terms of the development aspect of it and the advocacy and endorsement from Prime.
Let me be clear here. Yes, he looks desperate. And it's okay. You have nothing to lose right now. You don't even have a suspension. Like, AB doesn't even have a suspension yet. He doesn't have a job yet. Hell yeah, I'm going to go to Uncle Prime Time, the ambassador himself, Deion Sanders, and try to get back in the league. AB is trying to turn every single damn doorknob he sees to get back in the house. He's trying to get back to where he's best as a future Hall of Famer on someone's roster catching the rock. But let's be real about this. He's using Deion for cover. And maybe, like you said, LeVar, Deion's using him to, hey, let my son, a quarterback, get some reps with a future Hall of Famer receiver. But he's also returning the favor and using Deion for cover because AB has been dating a lot of people to get back into the NFL. Let's go back when AB was Tom Brady's baby. Like him and Tom Brady. That's my guy. I'm staying at his house. Oh my God. When Brady gets some new team, it's me and Brady. They dated for 1 week and he wanted to marry Tom Brady. Okay.
They passed.
Then you
the
look
homie.
At it next. He looked at a situation. Tom, they're passing the homie up. Look, he gets in a situation. LeVar, he gets in a situation with Lamar Jackson. We see him working out with Lamar Jackson, him in Hollywood. They ain't even went out. He just saw Lamar Jackson balling at the pub and was like, I'm going to marry that. That's me and Lamar Jackson. That didn't work out. So now he's at Country Prime. If you understand what I'm saying, look, AB, I'm with you, big dog. It's just, it's getting a little obvious, and maybe even Commissioner Goodell's kind of looking and saying, I want to see AB show me his best self consistently rather than attach himself to others for cover and his introduction back to the NFL. So, look, AB, it may work out, but right now, brother, I understand you're on pause. You're still on ice. Let's talk about another outlandish football player looking for a bounce back year, Baker Mayfield. Baker's sophomore slump season in Cleveland was a train wreck, but there are a lot of people who still believe in a former top pick. Brady Quinn says Baker is one of the most accurate passers he's ever seen and that he has no doubt Baker can be a top 10 quarterback. Curtis, you think Baker could be a top 10 quarterback?
I don't think next year. I think in the future, he definitely has all the ability and a lot of weapons around him to become that. You know, I think the mistake we make when we look at quarterbacks in today's society, we all live in this microwave society where we want these guys to come in and be successful right away. You're talking to a former quarterback who, once I got in the NFL, I played with 12 different quarterbacks as starters in my 12th season. What I'm saying is every single year of my career, I had a different starting quarterback. I had young quarterbacks. I had veteran quarterbacks. Mm. I had quarterbacks that I felt like probably shouldn't even been in the league because they were so old. And I would tell you the huge difference that I saw between young quarterbacks and old quarterbacks were the younger quarterbacks tried to play like robots. They didn't want to check out of plays when they were clear that they saw something different because they didn't want to go against the coaches. Whereas veteran quarterbacks who have created this trust between offensive coordinator, head coach, they can go out there and check off of a player and they see something without even worried about anybody saying anything to them. So I've always said this, you have to give these young quarterbacks, in my opinion, at minimum 3 to 4 years before we really start talking about letting these guys go or he's a bust, because I will tell you this, quarterback mentally is the hardest position to play in sports. You can get on the board, you can make it look pretty, you can say all the right things, but now you got to go out there and execute this while these real life things are coming at you. So at the end of the day, I'm not too quick to pass judgment when guys don't have success early, because I've been there and I've also been in the room with
them. Yeah, I'll just say very quickly, I think it would be addition by subtraction if he were to be a top 10 quarterback this year. You got to take a good look at some of these top 10 guys. They're getting older. They might be so old they slip off the cliff and don't return back to form. And, you know, guys like Tom Brady come to mind going to a different team. Can Drew Brees do it again this year? What will Aaron Rodgers do? You know, some of these guys are getting a little up there. So it could be a top 10 push for him, but it would be addition by attraction to me, Marcellus.
No, he can't be a top 10 quarterback. How are you going to be top 10 in NFL? You may be fourth best quarterback in your own division. Like, let's just be real about this. Lamar Jackson's in the house. Big Ben is coming back. Joe Burrow, Joe Bayou might come and do some things. Baker, top 10 in the entire NFL. Let's just be respectful about this because he regressed in terms of completion percentage and accuracy last year during that sophomore slump season. So it looks a little more to me that Brady Quinn is still trying to make some plays for the Cleveland Browns, more so than accurately talking about who Baker Mayfield will be going forward. Coming up, there's a lot on the line in the Brady Belichick divorce. We'll tell you who has the most to lose. Speak for yourself. It's presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Marcel Swiley, LeVar Arrington. And now we're being joined by a Super Bowl champion, Cliff Avril out there in Seattle. Let's move to the ultimate Super Bowl champ, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who finally split up this year after two decades and six championships together. One question on everyone's mind is how the divorce will affect the legacies of these two guys, who are arguably the best to ever do what they do. Now, we all know Belichick never won much as a head coach before Brady, and obviously Brady has yet to win anything without having Belichick on the sideline. So, Cliff, champion, who do you think has more to lose in this divorce, Brady or Belichick?
Well, you just said it, man. I think Brady has more to lose, and the reason I say that is because Belichick has won games without Brady. Brady has not won championships, or he has not won games without Belichick. So I feel like Brady's going to have the most to prove. I think Brady's going to have, you know, we all got egos, right? We all want to prove that we can do it without. Well, Belichick has shown that he can do a little bit without Brady. Now, Brady has to put on, you know, his cleats and his big boy pads and take his game down to Tampa and try to lead a team by himself. Can he do it? That's the big question mark. But I do think Brady has most to lose in this whole process.
You know, when a divorce takes place, the person that has more has to pay spousal support even once the marriage is over. Belichick is paying spousal support for all the kids they done made and all kinds of stuff that's going on with him and Tom. And you got to know that because it's more value being put on Bill Belichick than on Tom Brady. All right. Tom Brady is considered to be a short-term experiment, solution for Tampa Bay, while the other in Bill Belichick is an institution in Foxborough. So you got to look at it as Tom is definitely set up here to be the loser in this divorce, because if all things given, if they both have not so successful years, right, you're going to look at Tom Brady and say, wow, Tom's at the end. Probably he's going to hang it up soon. They may even get rid of him. Tom Brady may even become a journeyman quarterback, right? While Bill Belichick will actually have the opportunity to be able to rebuild and try to fix his team moving forward. You got it, Marcellus.
It's Tom Brady who has more to lose. You obviously know that. Think about this. There was a Bill Belichick before there was a Tom Brady in the NFL. And being the old head right now on the show, let me tell you about the 80s Bill Belichick that was a mastermind of the Super Bowl defenses for the New York Giants, or the 90s where he still was a defensive coordinator or a personal assistant to the coordinator with the Patriots, 2-1 as a coordinator in Super Bowls. That's before Tom Brady's even leaving Ann Arbor, y'all. So, obviously, this is going to lean towards Bill Belichick. But let's talk about how Bill Belichick is going to be able to outlast, have more endurance in this race than Tom Brady. Let's say Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, and he's looking at Belichick like, I got you. And Belichick like, okay, you know you're going to retire one day, and I don't have to on that same day. I still got more to go. At least a decade more of Bill Belichick, who won a Super Bowl 2 years ago with only two Pro Bowlers. You ain't got to give Belichick much to go out there and be who he is, which is the GOAT of all coaches. LeVar, you look at the situation. Tom Brady doing the best, Tom Brady doing the worst. Does that change your opinion?
Yes. It does. I got to disagree. Hey, listen, man. He's married to the supermodels of all supermodels. He's got all kinds of endorsements off of the field. He's already a winner off the field. If he goes to Tampa Bay and gets a Super Bowl this season, man, I'm out. See y'all later. I proved to y'all what I can do. I showed y'all what I can do. I'm up. I'm winning off field. I went somewhere else just to prove to y'all that I could be successful without being under Bill Belichick's watchful eye, or he defeats the whole quotient or quote of being a system quarterback, system made. If he gets a Super Bowl, it changes the entire conversation. He doesn't have to keep winning them. He gets one, it changes the conversation.
I agree. It changes the conversation if he wins one. That's a big if. But Belichick has more opportunities to win it. We're talking about this man is 42 years old. Boom. He's probably got a couple more years left in him. Belichick can coach this thing out for another 15 years if he like. And I guarantee he probably wins another one without Tom Brady in that 15-year span. So I think Tom Brady has more to lose from the standpoint of just the longevity piece, right? Yeah, you can go win another one. Okay, you got your seventh ring. Belichick might end up with 10 of them things. Then what? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's more on Brady than Belichick for sure.
Man, LeVar, you know you done lost this argument. And just think about it. Like, in the locker room, man, whenever we talking about game, when we're talking about football, and you start talking about a supermodel, and you start talking about someone's wife. It's like being in the locker room when we talk about our game and you start saying, I got more money than you. We like, you lost. We are talking focus right here. Yeah. We're talking Belichick having the opportunity to keep this thing rolling for a longer time than Tom Brady. One more Super Bowl for Tom Brady will just solidify that, hey, your first three Super Bowls wasn't just defense and special teams. That Belichick actually carry Tom Brady early Super Bowl years. One more for Brady helps that cause. But Brady got to retire one day. Belichick's going to look down and say, I'm going to mix this thing up one more time. And trust me, it's going to work. Coaches out-coach players. That's just the way the game is set up.
Y'all have already stacked the deck, Cliff and that dude. You've already stacked the deck, but he's got enough rings where if he gets another ring, y'all need to leave my man alone and let him go talk about how much money he got and how pretty his wife is and how nice life is outside of football.
Hey,
because he doesn't have to prove anything else.
It's all good, LeVar, but when you start talking about Giselle, she can't throw and just catch the ball. You got too much.
Oh, yes,
you lost focus right there. So coming up, guys,
yes, she can.
We'll give you our latest approval rating for Cam Newton. We got Uncle Jimmy in the house, and he'll tell us what he thinks of Cam Newton. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, joined now by Uncle Jimmy. Let's talk some Cam Newton. Ron Rivera says Cam still got something to prove, Uncle Jimmy. What do you think? Cam got something to prove, Uncle? What's up?
Hell yeah, Cam Newton got something to prove. The only problem is his list is too long and my time is too short. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right? First of all, Cam Newton gonna have to show people that he cares more about playing in the NFL than he cares about being an Instagram model. Second of all, he's gonna have to prove to people that he ain't as fragile as a box of Meemaw's printer brittle. Okay? Third of all, he's gonna have to show people that not only does he have contact with, but he also knows a good barber. Last but not least, he's also gonna have to show people that once he gets his foot on, stepped on, he ain't gonna turn into Kunta. After that, he has nothing else to prove to people. Other than that, go head on, Cam. What the hell else
Wrong
you got
time.
To show anybody?
Hey, they do say that Prino Brittle already broken up. I'm like, dude, where the bricks at? That's it for us. Stay safe, America. See you tomorrow.